Our scripture text this morning will be from Matthew 11, 28 and 29, and Psalm 19, 7 through 11. This is the one from Matthew, Jesus speaking, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And also from Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." Maybe if you had your way, your day would never end. Every moment demands to be savored. If you're like that, congratulations. If not, welcome to the majority. Most people have learned another way of going to bed. It's called crash and burn. You're so tired. You are weary. Weary by being slapped by the waves of broken dreams. Weary of always having a deadline to meet. What steals our earlier dreams when the possibilities seemed endless? Weariness seems to find us all at one time or another. Too many sprints for success. Too much time trying to reach goals. Too many days of doing whatever it takes eventually take their toll. Some ask themselves, is it worth it? When I get what I want, will it be worth it, the price that I paid? Perhaps those were the very thoughts of a Texas businessman that I read about. Successful, well paid, a new wife, remodeled home. But apparently it was not enough. One day he came home from work, took a gun out of the vault, climbed into a sleeping bag, and took his life. He left a note to his bride which read, "It's not that I don't love you. It's just that I'm so tired and I want to rest." Many people in 2024 are frazzled by the pressures of various circumstances. Hopefully, no one here today will have to deal with such anxiety, but we all have situations that cause us some anxiety and concern. How do we deal with being frazzled? Just to refresh your memory, Webster defines frazzled as one who is extreme physical or nervous fatigue, or being worn to exhaustion. Some days or weeks, you may think that not one more thing could happen for things to get worse. And sometimes that one thing happens and things seem worse. That happened to be Wednesday of this week. I just kept on thinking, not one more thing. I was typing up my message, and wouldn't you know it, I was going to look back at a passage. My message disappeared Wednesday night about 10 o'clock. I just turned off my computer and went to bed. How do we cope? What do we do? Well, I've heard various people mention these ways how they have coped. Some read a book, or call a friend, or turn on the TV, or go for a walk, or go to the gym, or head to the refrigerator, try to eat your troubles away. Done that? But many will probably utter a short prayer that may go something like this: "Lord, help me." Or, God, make my boss change his mind. You know he is wrong, and I can't handle one more thing. Or maybe your prayer went something like this. Lord, help my wife, or my husband, to get off my back. Help me get some sleep. But stop. Stop and think about something you've heard before. Jesus, the master teacher, spoke about such times as these when he said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's for the NIV translation. This one is from the New King James Version, which says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The New Living Translation says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And finally, the Living Bible says, come to me, and I will give you rest, all of you who work so hard beneath a heavy load. Did you notice that all of these translations say, come to me? Jesus is inviting us to come to him when we are frazzled and overwhelmed. We come to him by prayer, but also by reading the Bible and seeing what things Jesus has to say. The other part of that scripture in verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. A yoke. Yokes were put on the necks of animals so they could pull a plow or a wagon or a little cart like Jenny mentioned. A yoke was a symbol of obedience and hard work. Jesus is telling us that there are two things that will help unfrazzle us, that we should come to him and learn from him, and then we will find rest or refreshment or relief, a sense of peace. And how do we come to him? The obvious one is in prayer, also in Bible reading. Through reading the Bible, we learn from Jesus. We learn what God has to say to us. We can listen in Sunday school and worship. We learn from fellowship or music. We can sit here in Sunday mornings and listen to Lexi play. It helps to prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you, Lexi, for doing that every Sunday morning for us. This morning she was playing the song, Beautiful Savior. Thank you. Thank you. You know, C.C. Winans has come out with a song called The Goodness of God. I play it often because there's a phrase in there that I need to be reminded of. It says, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. It reminds me how good God has been to me. That is the thrust of Jesus' promises, and important to remember. If we are to learn, we need to read the Bible and meditate and be open to his goodness. How can we learn if we don't read and watch for his goodness? And how can we meditate if we don't first read the word? We sang the song earlier, Ancient Words, changing me and changing you. I know that he has changed me, and he continues to change me. Yes, even at my advanced age. Those ancient words change me as I read them, ponder them, meditate on them, and try to live them. What Bible passage did you read yesterday or today? What are you doing different because of it? When God says meditate, what does that mean? Meditation is defined as the act of engaging in mental exercise for the purpose of reaching a heightened level of spiritual awareness. When we meditate on God's word, it means taking time and not be hurried. I often pray that God will guide me in my study and help me to refrain from thinking about the events of the day or yesterday or tomorrow. Just think about our Bible reading. Who is writing the passage and to whom? How will these words affect my day? Or I pray, help me to remember what I have read. I actually have a notebook that I write down various verses that I want to remember. And I kind of checked that this week. Over 1,000 verses over a few years. And probably there's more that should have been put in there. I read my Bible early in the morning with my early morning coffee. Sometimes I meditate during that time, but I also meditate on His Word throughout the day. Or maybe we meditate on Bible passages that we've heard in the worship service or Sunday school, or possibly if you're listening to the radio, you might hear a Bible verse and you meditate on that. You listen. I want you right now to listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The psalmist is saying that he wants his meditation to be pleasing to God. I wonder, should mine be anything less? There are some specific Bible verses that encourage us to study God's Word. For instance, 1 Timothy 4:7 says, have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. Also, in Timothy 2:15, Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Other translations read, carefully study. Another one says, study and be eager and do your utmost. Another one says, make every effort to do your best. Be diligent in your study. Paul told Timothy to study. We can't ignore that admonition. While I was preparing this message, I thought of Howard Perrine, a powerful Bible preaching pastor that I worked with in Iowa. He encouraged folks to bring their Bibles and follow along when he was preaching. I remember him saying one Sunday, I could be preaching from the Sears catalog and you wouldn't, some of you wouldn't know the difference. Well, now we don't have Sears catalog, but then we did. These were the days when we were not accustomed to having the overhead like we do now. He started a Bible study on Sunday evenings while the youth were in their youth groups. Soon, more and more people were talking about the meaningful Sunday night Bible study, and there were over 100 to 150 folks attending and being excited about the scripture. I remember Lloyd Reinheimer coming by my office on a Monday morning after one of those Sunday evening Bible studies. He was a trustee of the church doing there for some kind of business. He stopped at my office and said how much he appreciated that Bible study. And he said, you know, Betty, I've been going to this church since I was a kid, and I've never been excited about reading the Bible until now. He said, Helen and I read it every day, and he says, we look forward to that time. I thought, what a great testimony about God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, as we sang, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's another song that we just sang. Did you think of the words? I sure did. His word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path when we are frazzled. He shows us the way to go, even if it is just to wait and be patient, which lots of times we're not very good at. The Children's Bible says, my word is like a flashlight, showing your feet where to go. If this is true, if we want less stress, less anxiety, we could read, study, and meditate upon what God has to say to us, and His word will show us the path to take. Now, I'm not saying at all, that the problem or trouble will disappear, but his word will give us wisdom and strength to cope with that problem. 2 Corinthians 1:4 tells us that comfort in time of trouble. It says in verse 4, God, who comforts us in all our troubles, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves were comforted by God. I saw this played out in my life when Amy, my daughter-in-law of 3 months, had a mental illness, and because she was feeling quite good for a couple weeks, she quit taking her meds. Mistake. The result was that she took her own life. The whole family was in despair because Ty had lost his wife. We were shocked and filled with sorrow. Frazzled? Yes, we were. But the God of all comforts helped us. He comforted us. I remember that Sunday morning, the funeral had been on Saturday afternoon, and I walked in the building and thinking, Lord, please don't have people bombard me asking me, why did Amy do this? How is Ty? And all kinds of questions. But there stood Bill Watt, some of you remember Bill, standing there, and he just came to me with open arms, gave me a hug, and said, we love you, Betty. That was enough for great comfort. And that is the way that we can comfort others. A few years later, I had a friend whose college-aged daughter had that same mental illness, and she committed suicide in the basement of the campus ecumenical center. When my friend called and wanted me to come, I was able to go to her and offer comfort to her with the very comfort that I had received at the time of Amy's death. At times, every Christian feels anxious or insecure about life and its problems, and maybe about one's faith. That is why it is important to read the Bible. The Old Testament in particular is full of stories how God helped many people when they were in trouble. These stories strengthen our faith because we see what God is willing to do to help mankind. And of course, the greatest thing he did was to give his son to die for our sins. At the beginning of the message, I read from Psalm 19. I want to read that again. So let's listen together. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. These are wonderful words of comfort. People are always on the lookout for ways to relieve stress. Certain things like exercising, walking, listening to music, like we did this morning, and other things will help. But I'm here this morning to encourage all of us to read God's word to not only relieve stress, but to strengthen our faith and give us comfort and wisdom. Paul told the Philippians in chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests before God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peter told his readers in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 to 8, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. These are reassuring passages, although they don't mention anything about reading God's word. But how would we know that these verses exist if we didn't read them? They both mention being anxious, being frazzled, and that is why I wanted to share them. Many times we're frazzled. We say we pray about it. That is good. We are told to pray and cast our cares on Him. When we pray, we are sharing our thoughts with God. Now, I learned in my speech courses in communication that communication is important to any relationship. But communication involves two people. We talk with God, and one of the great ways that He talks to us is through the Bible. So how do we go about getting relief from being so frazzled or overwhelmed in the Bible? Reading the Bible and meditating on it, how do we do this? You're here this morning to hear His word, to sing praises, whether it be Sunday school or whether it be the worship service. There's sometimes small group studies. You will be able to contribute during class time if you do a little reading ahead of time. The obvious thing that we can do is to read our Bibles at home. Get a translation that you can understand. Have a plan. Start out simple, maybe just a few verses. Sometimes people think, I'm going to read so many chapters, or I'm going to read this book this month. And the goal becomes so difficult, they just stop reading at all. Don't set an impossible goal. Set a time that is best for you to read. For me, my husband, it was always morning. I would read one place and he would go out to the breakfast room in another place. I had another friend who evening was best for her. She said her husband would listen to the 10 o'clock news and she would go back to the bedroom and have her time of reading the scriptures. Ask God for understanding as you read, because some verses are hard to understand. Often it's good to read one of the Psalms because it puts our minds on God and His power rather than our anxiety. If you want more understanding, read it from more than one translation. This is usually quite helpful. And you know, folks, we have it so easy today because many of us have the scriptures right on our phone. And all we have to do, I just press that little button for Bible Gateway, and up comes a little blank space where I can type in the scripture that I want to find. And also, it comes in many translations. So we are really, really, really blessed. And of great importance, be still. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." I don't know about you, but I have a tough time being still. You probably noticed that Betty Rupp has a hard time. No, I don't mean talking all the time. I mean quieting one's mind so we can understand what we're reading. I'm often thinking about what happened yesterday or the things I'm going to do today, and I think, Betty, be still. Be still. And it's something I have to work at, quieting my mind. Now, we've covered a lot of material today, and thinking about being upset and frazzled, worried, anxious, however you want to define it. We can conclude that every Christian feels frazzled or anxious at some time. We can pray for God's help. We sang songs about God's word. And finally, we know that we can read God's word for comfort, for peace, for correction, and instruction. In conclusion, I want to read a short passage from Oswald Chambers' book, My Utmost for His Highest. It is from his thoughts on the discipline of difficulty. He says, "God does not give us overcoming life. He gives us life as we overcome. The strain is in the strength. If there is no strain, there is no strength. Are you asking God to give you life and liberty and joy? He won't unless you will accept the strain. immediately you face the strain, you will get the strength. If you spend your life out physically, you become exhausted. But spend yourself spiritually, and you get more strength. God never gives strength for tomorrow or for the next hour, but only the strain of the minute.
You've been listening to Betty Rapp at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to those local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep those podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button, or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.